Blog Talk Radio.
We do it every night.
Every night. I live alone, but I still do it every night.
Right after dinner.
Definitely after meatloaf.
Like clockwork.
Do it. Run your dishwasher with Cascade Platinum and save water. Did you know an Energy Star certified dishwasher uses less than 4 gallons per cycle, while a running sink uses that every 2 minutes? That means even small loads can save water. So why not do it? Run your dishwasher every night with Cascade Platinum, the surprising way to save water.
I might just chill, but I'm the type that like to light another like Cypress Hill. I still do these spit loogies when I f*** on it. I got some bucks on it, but it ain't enough on it. Go get the S-T-I-D-E-S. Nevertheless, I'm hella fresh, rolling like a cigarette. So fast across the table like ping pong. I'm gone, beating my chest like King Kong. In zone, wrap my lips around the f***. And when it comes to getting another soggy, fools all kick in like Shinobi. Know me ain't my homie to begin with. It's too many. Probably let my friend hit fit, unless you pull out the fat $5 bill on the real before it's history. Cause who's be having them vacuum lungs? And if you let them hit it for free, you well done. Dum-dum-dum. I come to school with a tailor on my earlobe, avoiding all the slick teasers, skeezers, and weirdos. Got me throwing off the land like where the bomb at. Give me $2, you take a puff and pass my bomb back. Suck up like a Slurpee, the serious bomb will make a nigga go delirious like Eddie Murphy. I got more growing pains than Maggie, cause homie snagged me to take the dance out of the bag. I'm so keyed up, so be burning my hand. Next time I roll it in a hamper to burn slow, so the ashes won't be burning in my hand, bruh. Hoogies get hit, but they know they got a pitch and bent. I roll that's longer than your extension, cause I'll be damned if you get off me for free. Hell no, you better bring your own slip, chief. What's up, don't babysit that, better pass the stop hitting cause you know you got asthma. Crack the 40 open, homie, and guzzle it, cause I know the system is getting lonely. I gotta take a whiz test of my P.O. I know I feel cause I the major weed, bro. And every time we with Chris, that fool rolling up a f***. But the Tango race straight had me. Stop at the light, man, my yesterday thing got me hung off the night train. You made our fake, so let's head to the east. Hit the stroll to 9-0 so we can roll big hot sheets. I wish I could fade the 8, but I'm no budget. Still rolling the 2-0, cut the same old bucket. Foggy window, soggy. I'm in the land getting smoke with my kids. Up in smoke, yuck, I spray your layer down. Up in the OAK, the town. Homies don't play around, we down the blaze up. Then ease up, speed up through the ESO, drink the VSO, pee up with the lemon squeezer, and everybody's roller. I'm the roller, that's with the folder, out of a bunch of sticky doja. Hold up, suck up, so you need kicking feet, cause we're IVs, we need to have like a foo-foo.
All right, brother, I hear you. This is the product of Beverly Nation. This is the Know Your Right Show, and I'm your host, Terry Strength, on air now, live Nigeria, call in 516-53-9133. Press 1 to join the conversation. And, of course, this is brought to you from them, by them boys at Looking Glass Entertainment. Before I begin, I would like to thank Brother Obadeli and the ONE Dynasty family for giving me the opportunity to share my story and my perspective. Is spirituality a new perspective? Spirituality a new perspective? Interview with exorcist Bishop James Long. All the demons of hell formerly reigned as gods in previous cultures. No, it's not fair, but one man's god is another man's devil. As each subsequent civilization became a dominant power, among its first acts was to depose and demonize whoever the previous culture had worshipped. The Jews attacked Baal, the god of the Babylonians. The Christians banished Pan and Loki and Mars, the respective deities of the ancient Greek Celts and Romans. The Anglican British banned belief in the Australian Aboriginal spirits known as the Mimi. Satan is depicted with cloven hooves because Pan had them, and he carries a pitchfork based on the trident carried by Neptune. As each deity was deposed, it was relegated to hell. For God so long accustomed to receiving tribute and loving attention, of course, this status shift put them into a foul mood. And that was by Chuck Palahniuk. All right, family. So tonight, you're going to go in a little bit. I know I say that almost every show. But every show I try to go in, so you guys understand. So tonight we have an exorcist with us. And this guy has been around. You know, he obviously knows what he's doing. Exorcist Bishop James Long, he's a Catholic bishop. And he's been an exorcist now he's been doing this for about 30 years. And we have him on this show tonight and everything. And I don't know about you guys, but I'm just really excited. I'm just really excited to have him on here to talk about a topic like this that has some meat on the bone. All right, so Bishop Long, are you on the line?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks for joining us on the Know Your Rights show. I'm honored to have you on here. I mean, you're such a famous guy. You know, I'm humbled.
No, I'm just before anything else, I'm just a priest.
Okay. All right. If you say so, you have quite a resume.
I've been busy, but
well, talk about doing the Lord's work. I mean, this is some heavy duty stuff. You know, most people are afraid even to go there. You not only go there, you go there. So we're going to get into it tonight. I'm going to get started on this topic. We're going to have people call in. Brother's going to play some music for us. All right. So let's get started. So first of all, I want to know how did you get into this career path?
Well, you know, I knew I wanted to be a priest when I was five, and then at around nine, I began studying books on demons and angels, and I didn't know why. I just knew that that's really what I wanted to do. I just wanted to read as much as I could on demons and angels. And I just absorbed. I read and read and read. I mean, it almost became an obsession. And there were times I didn't understand what I was reading because I was 9 years old, but I knew that I couldn't put the book down. I had to get another book. But I decided, you know, when I became 18, I could have had the choice to go into the Roman Catholic Seminary at that time or live life a little bit. And so I decided to, you know, find out what life is really about as far as worrying about paying bills and paying rent. And I wanted to grow up a little bit, to mature, to have some life experience before I start teaching people about, you know, God and life and things of this nature. So I eventually went into the seminary. I studied for the Roman Catholic priesthood for 6 years. And it was pretty amazing. In order to be a Roman Catholic priest, you have to have 4 years of undergraduate And then you had to have 4 years of graduate school. So a total of 8 years. And I went for 6 years, and I was about a year and a half away from being ordained to the diaconate, to deacon. So I received my minor orders in the Roman Catholic Seminary, but I decided to join the United States Old Catholic Church. And because we welcome everyone, we reject exclusivity, and I wanted to be able to preach and to help anybody regardless of their faith, race, age, et cetera. If they needed help, I wanted to help them. I studied, of course, demonology. I haven't stopped, and I was ordained a deacon priest and consecrated to the episcopacy. I have a doctorate in ministry and 3 masters, and so I've devoted my entire life to education. And but 20 years ago, see, I didn't want to go public with my ministry. I wanted to stay private. I wanted to stay quiet. But I had friends in the paranormal community, and there was no Catholic clergy helping the paranormal community. There was no one except for Father Andrew Calder. And Father Calder was an Episcopalian. And so people were asking me, you know, James, we need Catholic clergy to help because there's nobody helping. And 35 years ago, I got in the paranormal community. It was the first time I actually studied. I actually went to a haunted location and did kind of like an investigation. But 20 years ago, I said, okay, I'll go public. And I did. And boy, it just exploded from there. That's when Ghost Adventures and History Channel and Travel Channel and National Geographic, I mean, it was so new that people just kind of went, what is this? What's going on over here? And so now I created the Paranormal Clergy. It's an organization that has teams all across the United States. They are professionals. They go out to people's homes. And they investigate. If people are saying there's activity occurring in their home, they will investigate. They'll put all the information together, and they'll present it to the church. And if it requires my attention, as far as demonology, then the church gets involved. And right now, Rich Valdez, he's now the owner of the Paranormal Clergy. He serves as a religious demonologist. And I'm now training 3 other people to be religious demonologists for the church, Deacon Tommy Golden, who is the deacon for the church, Mr. Zimmerman, and of course, then we also have Draven Des. So these individuals are studying demonology, and they will serve the church in investigating cases. And the thing, we never charge. I've never charged, and I never will. As of today, I performed 30 documented exorcisms on people who are validly possessed. And so we've never charged, and we never will.
Wow, that's amazing. So my next question is, and this is a question I've always had, why does it always seem like only the Catholic Church is the only religion which performs this type of work? I've never heard of a Baptist church performing exorcism or any other of these Methodists or whatever. Why is it always the Catholic religion that seems like it's doing this? And maybe that's just a perception.
Yeah, that's a fair question. And actually, I remember Father Andrew Calder, he was an Episcopalian. And but he really wasn't called to serve as an exorcist. He did not want to perform exorcisms. That's not something that God called him to do. He was okay with doing blessing of the homes and deliverances, but Andy did not want to perform exorcisms. You have to understand that the Roman Catholic Church really is the one who created the rite of exorcism, because we see this was an office, an exorcist of an office in 253. And then the first rite of exorcism was written in 1614. This is a very ancient rite. And, of course, this was established by Christ. And so the rite was created by the church, but actually the Roman church. But actually I have met bishops or even priests that were exorcists that were from other denominations. Now, there's a big difference between performing a deliverance and an exorcism. And a deliverance and an exorcism are not the same thing. And I have noticed that a lot of other church communities that are not Roman Catholic will perform deliverances, but they are calling those exorcisms. And they're really not. They're kind of a different type of rite altogether. So, but actually, there are other denominations that do perform exorcisms. But there's a lot of legal issues that you have to ensure that the T's are crossed and I's are dotted, and that you never do any harm to the person who's coming to you who claims to be possessed.
Okay. I have another question, and it's not the one that I've sent you. So you were saying that you are authorized by Christ to do this? Because I've read the Bible a little bit. I don't see, like, where does that come from? You're saying only the Catholic Church has the right to do exorcisms?
No. What I was giving you the history of the Roman Catholic Church as far as the Catholic Church establishing the right, the solemn rite of exorcism. But no. The Roman Catholic Church, or the Catholic Church in general, United States Old Catholic Church, or the Roman Catholic Church, we don't own the rights to or ability to perform an exorcism. That is something that you certainly, if you are called to serve in this and you have the permission from your local ordinary or your bishop to perform this rite and you've been trained in it, then you certainly have that right, absolutely. But you got to understand, there are 58 Bible verses about exorcisms, 58. That's in Scripture. So this exorcism was actually instituted by Christ himself, and that is why the church, and when I say the church, I'm talking about the church in general, not just the Roman church. The church in general has that right to perform this ministry because it was established by Christ, and he even told his disciples to go and cast out demons. But people, here's the concern that I have, though. The concern is that people say to me all the time, well, I'm Christian. Therefore, I shouldn't have the right to perform an exorcism. But they forget the one very, very important part. Before Christ told his disciples to go cast out demons, he breathed the Holy Spirit upon them. That is ordination. So you truly have to be trained in this rite, because there are some very serious issues that can occur if you don't know what you're doing. A person could have a heart attack. They could have a stroke. So they could die of malnutrition, dehydration. So this is very serious. And if you don't know what you're doing, you could really cause some irrevocable damage and even, God forbid, death in the case of Annalise Mikkel, which is the movie The Exorcism of Emily Rose.
Wow. Okay, I got you. All right, so is possession real? I mean, I know that sounds like a funny question, but how do you, like, is it real? Like,
yeah.
How do you know? How would I know? Okay, so me as a person who doesn't know anything about this, how would I know someone is possessed?
Well, Terrence, my brother, let me tell you this. as I mentioned earlier, I have a doctorate in ministry and I have 3 master degrees. Now, I don't charge. And I never have. And I actually spend my own money to get to people's homes. My own money.
Wow.
So if someone is in Florida or Texas or California, I've got to try to find a way to get there. And I do it out of my own pocket. So let me just say this to you. I have performed 30 documented exorcisms. And when I say documented, these are individuals who've gone through psychiatric evaluation. I have spoken to their medical doctors. I have understood and gotten a complete summary of all their medications. I've spoken to the doctors. I've spoken to the psychiatrist or the mental health therapist that has issued the psychological evaluation. My friend, if I did not know that possession exists, I'd be doing something else with my time. Because there's nothing – again, I'm not benefiting financially at all from this. As I mentioned, I spend my own money to get to people's place. So if I didn't know that possession exists, I promise you I would do something else with my time. But as far as how do you know, well, as an exorcist, I mean, each case is different. But I've had an individual, their eyes go complete solid black. Well, or I'm using holy water and scarrings are appearing on the body. Or they're mimicking the voice of a deceased loved one, like my Aunt Mary. I've had a demonic entity mimic her voice, or the screaming, and the multiple pitches at once. Now you got to understand, Tibetan monks, they train, they did vocal training their whole entire life, and they can do up to 3 at a time, 3, and they've trained their whole life. Annalise Mikkel, who otherwise known as the Exorcism of Emily Rose, the movie. That's based on a true story. She was German. She had 32 pitches at the same time. when the exorcism was occurring. That is humanly impossible. Because again, I just mentioned Tibetan monks who train their vocals, their vocal cords to, for when they chant, they can do up only one. There's only one master who's able to do three different pitches at the same time. Annalise Mikkel did 32. But there's also some other things as well. I mean, there's that's why exorcists, before we perform exorcism, the exorcist will have the sacrament of reconciliation. We go through confession. We confess our sins. And the reason is we do that is because there is a term called retrocognition. And the demon will know the sins of the exorcist. And the demon will mention those sins during the exorcism. Now, that's why we have confession, to purge those sins from our body, from our soul, from everything, so the demons can't use those against us. It's the same thing also called prognostication. So let's say that I'm a celibate man. I've taken a vow of celibacy. So, but let's say that I was married, and let's say that my wife cheated on me. Okay, let's just say. The demon will know that, and the demon will mention that during an exorcism to try to shake me, to try to force me to basically shake my confidence. And so that's prognostication. So these things are not mental illness. And levitation can also occur.
Yeah, the levitation one is a real tough one.
But they're all parlor tricks, and they're meant to try to frighten you, but in the end, it's just parlor tricks that the demon is trying to cause you to stop the exorcism. But you just continue.
Got you. We have a track next from Brother Olodeli, the Hall of Famer. We have a track next, and we'll get back to this right after the song. Thanks, Bishop Long. All right, Brother O.
Creep show, my heart's hit a new low. like a girl of only 17. Melee and madness, and the romance of madness. Beautiful dance that happened by chance. Happened by chance.
So I think we have a caller in the queue. Caller one, who am I speaking with?
Right, hey, Jerry Petito, sweetheart. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you doing, Jerry?
I'm getting there, baby. I'm getting there. First of all, I wanted to just call in. I had a few minutes at a break. I wanted to say hello to you and your guest, of course.
Thank you.
I wanted to say how much I love you, man. What a great job you're doing. And I want to know if you're sitting down.
Yes, I am.
Okay.
I think.
Well, I would like to congratulate my friend, Sonia Griffin, award-winning linear, new host of the year, Terra Strength, on your O&E syndicated station all-time connection record with your 38th all-time, man, with the Darlene Lawrence Championship. How does that feel, baby?
It feels fantastic. It's been a minute.
You can stand up again.
Hey, thank you, Jerry. Thank you. Thank you.
You are so welcome. You are so welcome.
Let everybody know when the next show, Ms. Petito.
Okay, so this is a new week, right? So I'm just so under the weather, sweetheart. My show was last Tuesday night. The Jerry Petito Show, so it will be 4 weeks from last Tuesday night.
Okay. All right, Jerry.
And I want to say God bless you to your guest as well.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
Yes,
very kind of you. Thank you.
You're welcome, sweetheart.
Yes.
All right.
Thank you, Jerry. This is the Hall of Fame for Jerry Petito, one of my mentors and one of the pillars of O&E. So thanks for calling in, okay? All right. So, wow, this is some powerful stuff. So, all right, Mr.
Congratulations to you. Congratulations. That's fantastic. Congratulations.
That's yourself. You know, that's you. That's you. So let me ask another question. What are the stages of possession?
Oh, yeah. There are actually three stages that a lot of people know about. The movie called The Conjuring, a lot of people know this by that movie. Andrea Perrin is a very good friend of mine. I love her to death. She is wonderful. If your guests or listeners really want to hear a story of an individual who actually lived in a very haunted home, she actually lived in the home that The Conjuring is from. And she is just amazing, beautiful, beautiful soul. And I've had an opportunity to speak to her, but the Warrens, Ed and Lorraine Warren, were really the pioneers in the paranormal community. And I knew Lorraine. I did not get to meet Ed, but I did know Lorraine. And in the movie, they talk about infestation, oppression, and possession. And that's the basic, I guess, outline of a demonic possession. So here's what happens. So let's say that you go out and you want to be a paranormal investigator. And so you go to a place that's known to be haunted that might have demonic activity. And you go and you say, is anyone here? Can you make a noise? Can you do something? Well, that's invitation. You have now just given this demonic the invitation that it needs to attach itself to you. So you bring it home. You have an attachment. And at this time, you have what's called demonic infestation. So you will hear bangings on the walls, usually in three as a mocking of the Trinity. Religious objects will be desecrated. You will smell sulfur because Revelation talks about how at the end, when demonic entities are judged, they will be thrown into the lake of sulfur. Sometimes you'll smell the smell of rotten flesh, and animals are terrified, and you're dizzy, you feel sick. It's overwhelming oppressive. I mean, it's very oppressive. You know that there's something not right. Then,
absolutely,
of course, you have what's called – then you have, at that time, the demonic then will – for whatever decision, the demonic chooses its victim. And that's when the individual goes through what's called demonic oppression. But there's also a thing called demonic obsession. Now, demonic oppression is when the demonic begins to interact with you. So it begins to physically attack you. There's biting, scratching, pulling of the hair. It's a constant physical attack to break down your immune system. The whole purpose is to we're past tired. We're past exhaustion. We're at a point where literally your immune system is compromised because you have lack of sleep. It is constantly attacking you, and it's not letting up. At the same time, at this time, it's attacking your will to keep pushing on. Then you have demonic obsession. That's when the demonic will begin to interact with you on an intellectual level, and you begin to hear voices. You begin to hear the demonic speak to you. And it will say terrible things. No one loves you, and you need to isolate yourself from your family. It mimics schizophrenia. And the reason it's doing this is because it's trying to break down the intellect and will so the individual can no longer fight. They really have no more will to even put one foot in front of the other. They are beyond exhausted. Then they give up. They can't fight anymore. And that's when you have possession.
Wow. All right, wow. I don't know what to – I don't know what even to say about that. I think we have another caller in the queue. Bishop Long, we have another caller. Caller, who am I speaking with? You want to know your right stuff. Who am I speaking with?
Hi, this is Stephanie.
How are you doing, and, Stephanie?
Good. I just wanted to ask a question of the bishop. And I hope I'm not being redundant with this question. Because I came in a little after the start of the show. But I was just wondering, Bishop Long, is there any reason known as to why some people become susceptible to possession and others don't?
Yeah, that is a great question. And, you know, that's one of the most important things that an exorcist has to figure out is what caused the possession in the first place. Because let's say that someone played with a Ouija board, and that which is one of the it really truly is not a very good – it's not good at all to play with the Ouija board, and that's for a variety of reasons. It's not because it's magical. It's because the sole purpose of a Ouija board is to communicate with the spirit world. The problem is this. You don't know who you're communicating with, and that is the invitation that the demonic needs to attach itself to you. So I always have to find out, was there an invitation? How did it happen? And it's not purposeful. The person didn't go out and purposely want to make an invitation to the demonic to have an attachment. It could be completely truthfully. It could be so honest and like you go out and investigate and you just say, "Hey, is there anyone here? Can you do something?" Something that's simple is the invitation that the demonic needs. So as an exorcist, I need to know what happened. How did this occur? Now, this can occur from a variety of reasons. Number one, invitation, whether it's purposeful or not. Two, you could have moved into a home that was already had a pre-existing haunting or infestation. So let's say people did some things that he shouldn't have done. The demonic has infested itself in the home. You move into that home, and now you have problems. Or three, it can be curses. I've had one of the most horrible, god-awful incubus cases that I have worked. And an incubus case is very, very terrible. An incubus and a succubus are demonic entities that will attack someone on a sexual nature. And it's very violent. It's very aggressive. And it's debilitating, very debilitating. And in this case, the individual who was 68 years old, and she went through pure hell. And this was from Santeria. This was a curse that was placed on her by, of all people, her daughter-in-law, who wanted her property.
Wow.
And I even had her daughter on my show. She wanted to talk and tell her mom's story. And I'm telling you, I don't know how much you want to go into this story, because it is probably one of the most intense cases I have ever worked in my life. So, madam, I would say that those really are – that's a great question. And as an exorcist, that's one of the core things I have to – and the reason is I have to figure that out is because I don't want them to repeat the same mistake. So if they played with Ouija boards or done the things that they should not have done, then I need to say, hey, look, we can't go down this road again. And then I need to educate. I need to teach. I need to let them know this is something you want to avoid. And so those are one of the reasons. So it could be invitation, could be curses, or you could have moved into a pre-existing haunting.
Wow. Does that answer your question, Ms. Stephanie?
Yes, thank you.
Thank you for calling. Thank you for your questions. Okay, all right. First of all, I think we have another track from Brother O. Brother O?
No. I want to come on and talk to Bishop Long for a second and say something real deep. First of all, Bishop Long, thank you for being part of Orny Dynasty tonight.
Sure. Thank you for the invitation.
Talk about playing with Ouija boards. One of the saddest cases in American history was the reaction from playing with a Ouija board. A young man from Chicago in 1955 with his friends upstairs played with a Ouija board in the South Side of Chicago. And, they didn't really know what they were doing, Bishop Long. And every time this young man played with it, it said death. Oh, what's that, man? That ain't gonna happen. He kept playing with it, and it kept pushing it over to one of the letters that signified death. So after a while, after five times for it to switch over, because that gravitational pull pulled that thing over to death, they stopped playing. So the friends went about their way, and this young man said, I'm going to take a vacation to see my uncle down south, and to a place called Money, Mississippi. 3 days later, the same young man that played with the Ouija board was hung by a cotton gin. Before that time, he was beaten and shot. Okay? And his story was told all around the world. His name was Emmett Till. And now back to the program.
Mm. Wow.
Wow. I did not know that.
Yeah. Oh, holy moly. You know, and Roland Doe. Roland Doe, for those of you who don't know, the movie The Exorcist is based on a true story. And his name was Roland. Well, his pseudonym name was Roland Doe. I know his real name. And unfortunately, this young man, he loved his grandmother. Not his grandmother, his aunt. His aunt was a spiritualist, and she taught him how to use the Ouija board. And she really truly loved him. And she passed away. And so he wanted to actually reach out to her and try to he wanted to contact her. I understand the desperation. I truly do. And unfortunately, what he contacted was not his aunt. And it all started with the Ouija board. As a matter of fact, I was on Exorcism Live on the Travel Channel in 2015 with my good buddy Chip Coffey, who's a world-renowned psychic. Brilliant, loving, beautiful man. Just a beautiful, beautiful soul. And we were there, and we had a team. And this was a live show on the Travel Channel, huge Exorcism Live show. And I actually was at the exorcist house in St. Louis, Missouri. The family had contacted me because they wanted me to perform the minor rite of exorcism there because she was pregnant. The wife was pregnant, and she didn't want to bring a child into this home unless it's been completely blessed, and she just wanted to make sure. And that was the purpose for me being on this show. And I tell you, when I went to his room, oh, my dear God, it was when during the show we were walking up the stairs. And it was heavier and heavier. It just felt like a 5-pound weight was put on our shoulders. Then another 10-pound, and then 15, and then 20. The further we got up, it just kept getting heavier and heavier. And finally, we got to that room, and I got to tell you, the whole atmosphere changed. It was just unbelievable. Unbelievable. And I was able to complete the blessing there, but that actually was based on a true story.
Wow. 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 Brother, I think you have a caller next, or are you going to play a track next, brother?
Put a spell on you. Cause you're mine. Do, 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 do. You better stop the things you do. You know I can't stand it. You're running around. You know better, Daddy. I can't stand it because you put me down. Yeah, yeah. I put a spell on you. Because you're mine.
Thank you for that, Brother O. I think we have a caller three in the queue next. Mm-hmm. Caller three, who am I speaking with?
Hey, how are you, Trellis? Thanks for taking my call. This is Frank Newberry from Hazard, Kentucky. Got a question for Bishop Long, but first I just want to say that people that are really interested in this stuff, Bishop Long actually has some online courses you can take that are really affordable and help his ministry out. He hadn't mentioned that yet. I just wanted to mention it. And I want to ask a question, and I'll take your answer off the air, Bishop Long. With mental illness and possession, isn't it true that sometimes actual mental illness can come about because of spirit possession? And I'll take that off the air.
Yeah, and thank you so much for that. I do appreciate that. Yeah, a lot of times people will, unfortunately, they'll immediately dismiss possession, and they want to automatically, immediately say, well, no, it's just all mental illness. It's just, that's all it is. It's simply mental illness, and they want to excuse it or try to dismiss it. Now, can a person who is mentally ill, can they certainly be possessed? No doubt about it. Absolutely. This is why you have to have a very strict procedures when it comes to performing exorcisms. Father Gary Thomas, I had the opportunity to speak to him a couple of times. He is actually the individual where the movie The Rite, if you've ever seen the movie The Rite with Anthony Hopkins, it's based on his life, Father Gary Thomas, who's a Roman Catholic exorcist. And I had the opportunity to speak to him about his experience, and his motto is, I will not perform an exorcism on command. And I love that because it really, you can't. Because you have to have a psychiatric evaluation for an individual who thinks that they are possessed. And here's a reason. There's several reasons why. One, the individual could suffer with dissociative identity disorder, which is multiple personality. And if you perform an exorcism on that person, you can actually create another personality. Or if a person who is a paranoid schizophrenic, you could put them in a paranoid state and they could commit suicide. So there are some really serious, very serious consequences with performing an exorcism on an individual who actually is mentally ill rather than possessed. However, a person who is mentally ill can most certainly be possessed, and an exorcist and a religious demonologist will absolutely, can no doubt, they will be able to determine whether or not we're dealing with mental illness or possession, and I tell you how. Because one, mental illness does not give you the ability to speak a language in which you have never been trained in. Mental illness will not allow you to levitate. Mental illness will not give you the ability of retrocognition, though what I've explained earlier, or prognostication. Mental illness will not occur when you use holy water on someone and markings will appear on that particular spot. So there are so many things that you can absolutely clearly argue that this individual is suffering from possession versus mental illness. Mental illness doesn't cause you to levitate. So we have to look at the logic, but we also have to work with a medical team, and we have to make sure that we do no harm to that individual. As a matter of fact, Annalise McKell, again, I spoke about her earlier, Emily Rose, the Emily Exorcism Emily Rose movie, she actually had grand mal epilepsy. She had seizures, and it started with the epileptic seizures, and she was hospitalized for these issues. At that time, they thought it was a mental illness with these seizures. And it was then that she began, the demonic began to attack her on an oppression level and an obsession. So it began to physically attack her and then intellectually. So she actually would be able to see, she described them as ghastly figures. Now people can say, well, that's somebody who's mentally ill. Okay, you're right. But during many times when she, during her, in the possessed stage, she would try to pray the rosary and she would be kneeling. And what you saw, if you've ever seen the movie, she would be picked up, literally picked up 3 to 4 feet from the ground and slammed on her hardwood floors. She was picked up and slammed so many times that her cartilage in her knees were completely destroyed. The exorcist at that time tried to even hold her down along with her family members, and they couldn't because the demonic lifted her up seamlessly and slammed her as hard in this horrible thud, and it kept happening over and over, and to the point where she could no longer walk.
Wow. Unbelievable. Mr. Newberry, are you still there? I think she's gone. All right. Well, thank Bishop. Thank you for the explanation. That's incredible.
Sure.
I think we have another caller in the queue. Caller four. Brother, we have another caller.
Well, first of all, right now we have a chat from Brittany from Louisiana, right there in Baton Rouge, and she wants to talk to Bishop Long by the internet. She says, what gives you the authority to cast out demons?
I have no – that's a great question, and I appreciate that. I have no authority. I have absolutely no authority. I am a sinner like everybody else, and I struggle every single day to try to live the best life that I possibly can. I have no authority. It is only through Jesus Christ and as his disciple that I am, and, of course, backed by the church – and my consecration and my ordination to the priesthood, am I even allowed to even consider this ministry? You know, you have to understand that an exorcist stands in persona Christi, in the person of Christ during the exorcism. I am not the one that is casting out the demonic entity. I am a vessel that God uses, and it is only God that casts out this demonic from the possessed. Not Bishop James Long. I am only a servant. Before anything else, I am a deacon. And a deacon in the church is a servant. And I cast nothing out. It is only through the grace of God that these people have been relieved.
Wow. Call five in the queue. I think we have another call in the queue. Call five. Who am I speaking with? You want to know your right show with Bishop Long? Hello.
Hello. Hi.
Yes.
How y'all doing? This is Ricardo Richard. Actually a host. My show is Trenton Make, and I'm from Trenton, New Jersey. I've been listening to the show. It's real interesting. I've never actually – I've seen stuff like in movies and stuff like that, but I've never encountered anyone that ever said that, you know, they did anything as far as exorcism or anything like that. So I guess my question is, what kind of either inspired you or, like, basically what made you, like figure, okay, this is what I'm doing and this is what I know that I'm called to do? Like what was it? Like, was it a day? Was it a moment that you knew, like, okay, this is what I'm supposed to be doing? Or is it still a question mark?
Yeah, you know, I got to tell you, this was never something that I chose. Never. Because the things that you see as an exorcist, but not only that, you know, I have 12,000 messages on Twitter. I have 8,000 messages on my email. I don't know how many messages on Facebook of people requesting help. And I'm only one person. And we do this, as I said, absolutely free. And one of the hardest things, you know, oddly enough, one of the hardest things about this ministry is not fighting demons. The hardest thing about doing this ministry is having to tell somebody on the phone that I can't help you because I can't get to your location. I can't afford, you know, a flight down to Florida and then paying for the hotel and paying for a car. That's close to $2,000. I can't do it. I haven't won the lottery yet. I'm trying. I'm playing. But that's the hardest part, is hearing someone sobbing on the phone and begging me to get there. I've had people tell me, Bishop Long, get to my home, and I'll put a second mortgage on my home. And I have to tell, I can't do that. I can't. I can't accept money. Because the moment that I do, then the demon, the devil can easily use that, and greed could creep in, and I have a zero tolerance for that. So it's not easy. It's not. But this ministry is not supposed to be easy, and I'm okay with that. But honestly, my friend, I didn't choose this ministry. I knew from a very early age that I didn't understand, but I, like I said, when I was 9, I was reading books on demonology. I had a horrible dream when I was, I guess, around 12, and it was a god-awful dream in which I believe that in my dream I saw the Antichrist. And we called the priest down. They performed an exorcism. This thing was screaming in pain. And I think it was at that moment that God was preparing me for what I do today. So this is just, it's been a long journey. It's been a long, long journey. I'm here. And I do the best that I can every single day.
Wow. Did he answer your question?
Yeah, he definitely answered. You know, like I said, I've never encountered one. I wanted to ask one more question. I know you got to go to the next thing. And in your experience of doing something like this, have you ever had something like some type of demonic spirit come home with you? You get what I mean? Like, does that can that happen? Or
sure. Sure. You know, an exorcist will live under the stage of oppression for the rest of their life. So I will live. I have taken a vow of celibacy, not because I have to. In the United States Old Catholic Church, we are different from the Roman Catholic Church. Now, we have apostolic succession. So in other words, Peter laid hands upon this apostle laid hands upon this apostle. So I can show my apostolic succession all the way to Peter. So in the Old Catholic Church, in the United States Old Catholic Church, our clergy are allowed to marry, should we wish. I have chosen to take a volunteer celibacy, a vow of celibacy, because of my ministry. So I'm all in. I'm 100% all into this. There's no part of me that's not 100% fully devoted. I've devoted my entire life to this ministry. And I will live under the stage because I don't want to bring a partner into my life and them be under oppression as well, because the demonic will use that to break me down, and I can't allow that. But I tell you what, I went to one place that there was a cemetery. There's a cemetery in Kentucky, and it's an old abandoned cemetery that nobody knew about. And 18 years ago, my team was called by a family member to come out and investigate because they thought some weird things were happening. So he went to this place, and I was doing a show then. I was doing a radio show, and we were talking about it. We investigated. I came back on the air. I said, man, this is like the gates of hell. And that's it. You know, my team's like, that's it. For now on, this is going to be called the Gates of Hell Cemetery. And that's how the Gates of Hell Cemetery in Kentucky got its name. And let me tell you something. There's a lot of satanic rituals performed, a lot of satanic rituals performed in this cemetery. And we have investigated there. And it is probably one of the most violent places I've ever been to in my life. And I can tell you the story of what happened if you want me to, Terrence. If I can tell you what happened. That's a crazy story. But when I was driving back home with a buddy of mine, we were talking about the experiences. And as I looked over to him because he was talking to me, telling me, I almost crashed the car because I had to put over the emergency lane, slam on my brakes. There was a little boy. He was maybe 10 years old, and he was right in the middle of the back seat with his hand, his fist on under his chin, just listening to our conversation. And we could see this kid in the back seat of this car. I was going 70 miles per hour on the expressway because that's the speed limit. And when we saw this kid, we clearly saw a full body apparition in the middle, right there in the back seat. I slammed, oh my gosh, I was so close to crashing my car into, you know, the emergency lane. He looked like he was like in 1890s clothing. And he was just sitting there just listening to our conversation. And then we looked at each other and we looked back and he vanished. But that was, it was as clear as day. It was a full body apparition.
That's a lot, Bishop. Bashar, thanks for calling in. Looking forward to your next
show.
Man. Thank you.
Thank you.
I think we have another Brother O. That's outrageous, Bishop. That's outrageous.
Oh, you have. I'll tell you the story about this if you want me to. You want to know outrageous? I'll be happy to tell you the story of the Gates of Hell.
You know what? Hold that thought. I think we have another track from Brother O.
Simple song of life, simply say, you should love the world that you gave your life for every man, little boy and girl. In this quest of life, when demands rage, I fall on my knees and say, Lord, don't take my simple song away. Simple song of life simply says, he used to love this old world that you gave your life for every man, little boy and girl. In this quest of life, when tempest rages, I'm falling. My simple song away. No, don't take my simple song away. Don't you take my simple song away. Away,
that sound that saved a wretch like me. Hear me when I say my sins are gone. Sounds like a do we child. Things are gonna get easier. Lord, don't you take my shepherd's song away. Sounds like we gotta find a way to bring some love.
Question for Bishop Long, because this is too much. One of the callers who called in, Stephanie, she posted a question on Facebook Live, and she said, "Can I ask why is it that these possessive spirits are able to hold place in this realm?" And I want to add to that: how are they able to do it with such power and force? I mean, you're talking about slamming people around. Because I was under the impression that ghosts, they didn't have that type of power. So why are these lower level entities so much more powerful?
That's a great question. One of the things that you have to always remember is that demonic entities exist outside of time and space, and so they are pure spirit. Whereas a human spirit, let's say you have a ghost, let's say you have a haunting in your home, it takes a great deal of energy to be able to move something and to push an object. Whereas demonic entities, they're not restricted in that ability. The question is why do they have that, you know, the right or the – I'm sorry, was that your question?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, because remember, they had the free will to either reject God and fall or to obviously continue and to serve us, because we are created in the image of God, not angels. And so therefore, Satan and one-third of the angels freely chose to reject God, pure hatred, because of hatred towards us, because of his love that he has for us. And they choose to remain here and do evil because they have that free will. Just as we have the free will to do good, or we have the free will to do evil. But in the end,
right,
we know how the story ends, because Revelation is very, very clear about how this story is going to end. So the challenge for all of us is to try to stay on track, to always do good, avoid evil, love others and help, and just don't judge people.
Wow, that's something in alignment with what I talk about. These stories are, the apparition in the back of the car is just incredible. You were talking before the track that you wanted to finish you want to tell that story, and I'm sure it's outrageous. Go ahead and tell that story quickly. Fine. We have another caller after you tell it, tell it quickly, and then we're going to have.
Yeah, sure. Well, this was, the Gates of Hell Cemetery, there's one way in, there's one way out, and the very back of the cemetery is what they call the Witch's Tree. And this is where a lot of satanic rituals are performed. Not that I'm implying that witches perform Satanism, I'm just saying that's what they call it. And there's a little horseshoe fence around the cemetery. It's not really big, but there's a lot of trees. And me and three other people were there. Another bishop was with me, actually, and we went to this place. It was around midnight. And it was in the middle of the summer, and the trees and the crickets were going off, and they were making the noises. But when we got to this tree, the top of the tree, these big trees, started swaying back and forth. But the funny thing was, there was no wind where we were, and once that occurred, all crickets, everything stopped. It was complete dead silent, and we all saw what appeared to be 200 people, what we call shadow people. They were darting in and out behind these trees, and we all saw them. Every single one of us, we saw this. And it was like they were closing us in. And we decided it was time to go, because obviously us being there, we're provoking this thing. We need to go. And because we weren't there to perform the minor rite, we were there to investigate. So we took off. We slowly walked out the same exit, same little path. And this one person turned around, and they had a flashlight. It was a full moon. It was a gigantic tree right in the entrance of the cemetery. And it was a full moon right behind this tree. And he flashed his flashlight on this massive tree. We all saw this thing. I would take a lie detector test today. And Bishop David Price even saw it. I don't know what this thing was, but I do know that it was a massive, it looked to me 10 feet tall. He had a flashlight right on this thing. His wings were huge wingspan. His wings were out. We could see the claws. He had red eyes. He was looking right at us. Didn't say a word, and we all knew that if we went one step closer, we were going to be attacked. I don't know what that thing was. Even to this day, I don't know what this thing was. But we all saw it. We all saw it. And we decided it was time to go. And when we got home, when I got home to take my little dog out to use the restroom, there's a little field right across the street from me. It's about 15 feet. And this was around, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning. And as my dog was doing her business, I heard a growl. Now, I have heard growls before. This growl was so deep and so powerful. It was like I put a bass speaker on my back, turned the bass up as loud as it can, and I could actually feel the vibration in the lungs, in my chamber. And I could feel it. It was we have some bears here, not many. But this was much bigger, and much deeper, much louder than any type of animal I have ever heard in my life. And I, of course, grabbed my dog and said, "Nope, we're going inside." but I will never forget that growl. It was massive, from something massive.
That's too much, Bishop. That's too much, Bishop. You got apparitions in the back of cars.
Yeah.
Some demon thing. Sounds like the Jeepers Creepers thing that I saw in the movie. Listen, we have another caller in the queue. You on the Know Your Right show. This is Terrence Prince, and we have Bishop James Long here with this exorcist, Bishop James Long. Caller six, who am I speaking with?
Hi, Terrence. This is Mo Garman calling from Philadelphia. How are you?
I'm doing great, Mo.
Hi, Mo.
Hello, I had a question for Bishop Long. I had two questions, but you did answer me. You discussed the difference between mental illness and possession. That was fascinating. But I'd also like to know if a person has an exorcism done, do they have to be a Christian? And will the demon return or another one take their place if they're not?
Yeah, that's a great question, Mo. And no, the person does not have to be a Christian. As a matter of fact, I've had cases where individuals were not Christian. And now, as a theologian, we are taught that once a demonic entity and an exorcist are at battle, the intellect and will of the exorcist or the intellect and will of the demonic is at battle. One is going to win, one is going to lose, because the individual who's possessed can no longer fight, because remember, their intellect and will has been eradicated. So it can be a long process. This could be months. I mean, this could take quite some time. Annalise Mikkel, it took 10 months for the exorcism and actually it didn't work. She succumbed to the possession. She died from malnutrition dehydration. But what we do is we continue the rite over and over and over, and we continue. It's the same rite. It's the same ritual over and over. So very repetitive, because we're breaking down the intellect and will. Now, what we are taught is the demonic entity will eventually give up its name. When it does that, it knows it's defeated, because once we know its name, we know its origin. We know the hierarchy of the demonic. We then start controlling the situation. We can control the demonic. We can control the next stage that we need to go into. And what we believe is that they succumb, and they succumb to the cross, the corpus. We use a crucifix, and we force the entity to succumb to the cross, to surrender to the cross, and eternal damnation then awaits for that particular demonic. So we do not believe that once a demonic is expelled from an individual and they are defeated by Christ, then they are immediately and eternally judged in the lake of sulfur. Now, a demonic entity can certainly, most definitely, take the place and cause more havoc on this individual. That's why it's very important for the exorcist to know what caused the possession in the first place. Because we don't want the person to repeat the same mistake. If they did make a mistake, we don't want them to repeat that.
Thank you so much. That was a great answer. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you, Mo.
Mo, when is your next show?
My show is going to be January the 28th. Thanks for asking.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for calling in with your question. This ship is on fire tonight. Wow, this is, I don't know what to say. I don't think I'm going to bed tonight. All right. Brother, do we have another track? Or do we have another call on the queue? This is quite a night, family. I think we have another caller in the queue. We have Bishop Long on tonight, and he is dropping some paranormal demon jewels for you, family, tonight. Caller 7, who am I speaking with?
Hello.
Caller 7.
Is this Terrence?
Yes. Is this who I think it is?
This is Antonia Betts, and my show's
How
called Information Guru. All right. Thank you for asking. I just wanted to say I'm glad you picked up this subject and the presenter that you have as a guest because, you know, I've heard about the paranormal over the years coming up, and I paid attention to bits and pieces of things that it seemed to attract the paranormal presence, and I was never afraid of it, but I did hear of demons, which is something that people want to steer clear of, I'm sure, that feel as though that it has a presence in their life or somebody else's life. But I wanted to say, how are you, Bishop James? And I just wanted to ask, you know, because my biggest concern was people have said if you are a positive person and you do not have a fear of anything bad that, you know, travel in those circles, you know, like demons and whatever and spirits, that if you have a good spirit and it sticks with you, sometimes it can tend to follow you for a certain time period. It may be of a person who you've known, including a relative, and it may protect you. All you have to do is just believe in yourself and not be afraid as if you have to look over your shoulder, as long as you feel as though that presence is positive. I wondered about it for years because I would like to believe that for those who do believe there's a positive presence that can be available, or is it possible that you could ward off anything bad that will come your way?
Oh, sir, no doubt about. Yeah, no doubt about that. No doubt. You know, I've been, like I said, I've been in the paranormal field for 35 years, and I've been doing this ministry for 20, and I have performed 30 documented exorcisms on people who are violently possessed, and I get thousands of emails every single week from people asking me to help them because they think they're possessed. And keep in mind, I've only performed 30 exorcisms, so it's rare. Possession does not occur often. It is rare. Now, there are people who want to make you think that possession is happening to every other person, and that simply isn't true. It just is not. There's a lot of people who think they might be possessed, but it's just simply not the case. It truly is a very rare phenomenon. Now, I do believe that we all have guardian angels. Every single one of us, I strongly believe in that. But here's the secret to this. Your guardian angel cannot help you unless you give them permission to. Because if they help you without you giving them permission, they violate your free will. And that is something that demonic entities have done. God's gift to us is free will. No one can violate. God doesn't even violate our free will. And so if you have situations in life and you need help, then what you do is guardian angels, whoever you may be, I give you permission to intercede on my behalf to help me deal with whatever it is you're dealing with and watch miracles happen. But you got to give them permission first.
Okay. And they don't have to be somebody you're familiar with, just the presence. You could feel the radiance within your personal being in order to, like, not have to be worried about anything negative. Am I correct?
Yeah, my friend, let me tell you, when a demonic entity is present, you know, there's no guessing them at all. As a matter of fact, I believe that my aunt passed away in 2014, and she loved roses. She loved roses. Mary, just that was her name. She just loved them. And I was very close to Mary. I loved her dearly. And she always told me that when you smell roses, you know I'm near. And, you know, in every exorcism that I have performed, there was an aroma of roses. It's as if I just open a perfume of roses, and it fills the entire room. in every single one. And I know my aunt is there protecting and helping me in this ministry.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think
wow.
you are a fabulous Bishop. And Terrence,
oh,
great job on interceding and meeting the bishop for him to send these messages, because a lot of people, they'll watch paranormal things, but they just
mm-hmm.
need somebody to sort of give examples and give a positive insight on things that occur out there. Everything is not demonic, like he said, I believe. It's just that if you continue to, like, dwell on something like that, God knows what can happen in a negative light. But thank you very much, Bishop James.
Thank you so very much for the question.
You're welcome.
Thank
and thank you, Terrence.
Thank you.
Wonderful show.
Thank you, Antonio Bash. Wow, this has been quite a show. And I had a similar question to what Antonio Bash had. But, you know, I wanted to know if that if I'm a good guy and try to be the best I can be and raise my energy, can it help ward off me becoming possessed? And I guess you
oh, certainly.
I guess you answer.
But keep in mind, even you know, even if you are a great guy and you're a terrific person, you show love to people, you don't judge others, you help everybody. You know, Jesse Jackson said something that one of the most profound, truly is my favorite quote. And Jesse Jackson said, the only time you ever look down on someone is when you're bending over to pick them up. And I tell you what, that when I read that, I thought, man, that is profound. And that is truly my one of my favorite all-time quotes. And it's true. But even if you have that motto of life, which is beautiful, you can still fall into trap of seeking something that you shouldn't be seeking. Because if you knock on the devil's door, he might answer. And you got to be really careful, especially paranormal investigators. I talk to them all the time. When you go out and you investigate and it might be a demonic present, you got to be really careful, because you could be saying, hey, is anyone here? Make a noise. Can you touch me? Can you push me? That's the invitation that the demonic entity needs. And that's when all hell is going to break loose in your head, in your family. So you got to stay away from that type of stuff. Stay away from anything that's going to open that door. Just simply don't open the door. And remember this, I tell people all the time, demonic entities are not superior to God. God is far superior than demonic entities. You call upon God, you call upon St. Michael, you call upon guardian angels, and you will be protected. Just do nothing to give the invitation, and you will be blessed.
Gotcha, gotcha. And on that note, I think it's Ngozi time. Brother O?
Well, first of all, I want to thank the wonderful Bishop James Long to come on this program tonight and be able to expound upon things that we all must take heed to. Be careful, guys. The life you save might be your own. Tomorrow night on these only fix, we come back on with the outstanding Ava Holly and a casual chat right here at 9:30 Eastern. Spend the time on these only stations. And, of course, Beverly Nation is advertising to ONI, which is all of Bella Ingo's enterprises. You can reach the course at www.lookingglassentertainment.wordpress.com, as well as Ngozi Primetime on that. Bevnet.com. We're in Ngozi Time both for Twitter and Instagram. Ola Deli Ngozi at Timbers and Google Plus. Ola Deli Malay where Ngozi at Facebook, as well as our business page, Know Your Rights, as well as the historic Bevel Nation Online Radio, established 2013. Any comments, suggestions, or wonderful program tonight? Ola Deli, that goes with my and gmail.com. And I am your mother and father's favorite producer. No accolades needed, because you already know who I am. Ola Deli Malay where Ngozi saying good night and good luck. So all the folks out there in Armed Force Radio that support us on a constant basis tonight and now, to the 2020 Sonya Griffin Award-winning Linear New Host of the Year, and with his 38th championship tonight, Mr. Terrence Triff, you have 2 minutes left to go in the program.
Well, this has been quite a show, family. I want to thank Bishop James Long for coming in and sharing his knowledge of the paranormal and these lower entity beings and how we're to manage them. This has been an outstanding show. Thank you. I humbly thank you for coming on this show. You are a metaphysical rock star, apparently. And please let everybody know very briefly how they can reach you, Pastor, Bishop.
Yeah, they can go to www.bishopjameslong.com, bishopjameslong.com. My church is usocc.org, the church that I belong to, but bishopjameslong.com. And I got to tell you, the music here is absolutely amazing. One of my all-time favorite singers in the world, Shirley Caesar, and her song, I Remember Mama, I tell you what, she tears the house down every single time. It was just truly one of the greatest songs I think ever sung by the queen herself, Shirley Caesar.
There you go. All right, brother. Oh, there you go. So again, family, I want to thank everyone for chiming in, and all the great hosts who asked questions and guests who asked questions. Thank you for joining the Know Your Rights show, and we will see you in 4 weeks with another great show. Again, thanks, Bishop Long, for chiming in. And Bishop Long, we're going to have to talk after this show. Okay, I'm just telling you. Just telling you. I don't know if I'm going to bed tonight. All right, family. So thank you. All right, brother.